like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Grey Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Hey, folks. This is a bit of an unusual episode of Witch Police Radio. If this is your first time listening to the show, I would strongly encourage you to go back and check out one of the more standard one-on-one interviews. This one's a conversation that I had on a video podcast called Peg City Sound Off, and it's an abridged audio version of what was a two-hour-plus live stream between me and Joel, the host. And this version sort of focuses on the part of the conversation about podcasting, about our podcasts respectively, about my upcoming 1000th episode, about his 1 year anniversary of doing his show, and things like that. If you want the full conversation, you can go to Peg City Sound Off's YouTube or Facebook, and you can watch the full 2 hour thing, which gets into a lot of detail, answering questions from some of his viewers, talking about various aspects of the local music scene, including, you know, how to fix some problems with shows, how to recognize artists who are doing substantial things, and a lot more. But this is kind of a nice, tight, hour-long version that focuses mainly on the podcasting side of things.
Witch Police Radio. I mean, you're all over the place because you've been doing this. When did you start this? 2012, was it?
Yeah, the first episode was in November 2012. Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, maybe give. I mean, any viewer of mine is probably going to be a listener of yours. But maybe just give a little rundown of how you came about and started Witch Police Radio, and then kind of where you're at right now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe it's easier to start with now, where I'm kind of on the verge of releasing the 1000th episode of the podcast, which is exciting. I didn't think I'd get to 10 episodes or 100 episodes or 500 episodes or now 1,000. So I think it really is just, you know, I interview local bands. This is kind of just a testament to how much local music there is in Winnipeg and Manitoba, because, you know, I've done almost 1,000 episodes and there's no shortage of artists to interview. I mean, every day I discover new local bands, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, this show has been around for a really long time. It started off in 2012 this is a long version and a short version, but the short version is in 2012 I discovered what podcasts were. I didn't know what they were. I assumed it was something you needed an iPod to use, and I didn't listen to I didn't have an iPod. I listened to physical music like a dinosaur, so I thought, okay, podcasts, I can't do them. I don't know what they are. It doesn't apply to me. And then I heard a podcast and realized that this is actually basically just on-demand radio. So it kind of dawned on me that I could do this too. And at the time I started the show, I wasn't playing in bands anymore. I had one very young kid and another one on the way. And I also wasn't working in journalism anymore. That's what my background is. But I spent about 10 years doing communications, like corporate communications jobs. And this was sort of during that period. So I wasn't doing journalism. I wasn't playing music. And, you know, in a roundabout way, the podcast ended up covering sort of both of those interests and kept me with one foot in the local music scene and one foot in journalism. And I work professionally as a journalist now again for a number of years since I sort of my hiatus. But I think doing the show really kept me in both those worlds. So yeah, it's really just sort of my obsessive interest in the local music scene has turned it into this way to sort of learn more about it and more importantly, sort of archive what has been happening in local music of all genres over the past decade and change.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And you're coming up on releasing the 1,000th episode. That is crazy.
It is crazy.
It's wild. Tell me about this episode. Like, it's got to be a mega one. I know for myself. I'm doing my 1 year episode, and I have the open invite because I'm a live show. I go live on it.
Yeah.
It's an open invite. I'm going to have 9 at a time. I'll run this thing for 3 hours, 4 hours if I have to, but it's just going to be mass email sent out. Anyone who wants to come talk, we're going to cover a bunch of topics that are really concerning to our local scene. And it's going to be a fun episode, but it's going to be a bit of a serious episode too.
Cool.
Where we are going to break open a couple eggs and chat about it. But tell me about the 1,000th episode. I'm very interested to hear what the plan is.
Yeah, for sure. And I actually want to ask you about your milestone episode in a little bit as well. So we'll get to that too. But yeah, I guess the I wasn't sure what to do for the 1,000th episode. I mean, in the past, when I was sort of, I guess pre-pandemic, I was doing a lot more shows where I would go to the artists and interview them. And so I'd go to someone's jam space or the back of a van or their house or apartment or literally wherever we could meet to do it. And I was doing a lot more live podcast events too. We'd have live interviews and performances. We had some themed shows that happened. It was like every a few times a year, there'd be some kind of live show. I haven't done one of those since the pandemic. I moved everything to doing virtual interviews, which makes everything easier and more convenient. And I can get more done this way. And there's a lot of reasons I like it. But so I was thinking at first, maybe I should do a live show again for the 1,000th episode. But there's so much work. I mean, you recently put on a live event. You know how much work there is involved in doing that. And I just, you know, between, you know, work and doing the podcast and kids and life in general, I just couldn't do it. So the concept that I've come up with for the 1,000th episode is that people are going to ask me questions. So I've had for the past month or so, been putting out a call for people to send in questions about the podcast, about podcasting, about the local music scene, about literally whatever they want, you know, within reason. And they're sending them into an email address that I don't have any access to. So a couple of my friends from the local podcast community, the hosts of the Sean Geek podcast and the Manitoba Money Shot podcast, they're controlling and curating the inbox. So they're receiving all the messages. I have no clue what the questions are. And we're going to record this live to me anyway, tomorrow night, Friday night. And I'm going to be hearing these questions for the first time. So I have no idea what people are going to ask, but it's going to be fun to sort of approach things from the reverse angle, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's great. That's what you got to do, right? I love that you have no access to that email. You could get anything. You have no clue what you're getting.
Yeah, and I trust these guys enough that if it's like something hateful or something, they're going to, you know, not show me that one. But I think that the most of it will be people with genuine, earnest questions or people that I know personally with, you know, in jokes or questions that they know are going to get a reaction out of me. So it was really hard to sort of think of, you know, first of all, if I was going to do some kind of big special episode in my normal format, who would I get for a 1,000th episode? Which artist would it be? And then planning ahead of time to arrange it so the times worked out, it just seemed impossible. So this makes more sense to do kind of a special one-off episode. And then as soon as 1001 comes along, back to the normal regular interviewing everybody mode.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Who do you get for that milestone? Who would you get that you haven't talked to? Like, surely you've talked to, like, I mean, it's a deep scene. There's a lot of people out there, right?
There are, yeah.
But who would be that person for that episode? So it's really cool how you're taking that on. Question for you, though.
Yeah, sure.
You're going back to, after that, you're going back to normal. How do you find the people to talk to? What's your process of, okay, I'm going to reach out to this person, you know, maybe just guide me through how you do that. Mine's simple. I just hit them wherever I can and tell them what the deal is and how we do this and make it work. And you know, the good thing about, and you will know this as well as anyone, the good thing about growing, I mean, I look back to today, 1 year ago today, I announced my first guest.
Cool.
So it was already, I created it already, but I had no one yet.
Yeah.
But today, 1 year ago, I announced my first guest. And you know, after that, I was just reaching out. But then you'll gain that following. And now people actually message me to come on.
Yep, for sure.
That is super cool. I love that. That's almost my favorite part of it is people reaching out and saying, hey, can I come on? Of course you can.
Like, that's how you find new stuff.
Doesn't matter to me, right? Yeah.
I mean, we all have our own sort of preferences as far as styles of music and bands that we've known about or known personally for a long time. But yeah, that is the way you find really cool stuff is when someone reaches out and says, hey, I have this project. And it's something that maybe you have no frame of reference for, even the style of music or whatever. And that is really cool. But yeah, no, when I started doing the show, before it became sort of an interview show, it was me and two of my friends sitting around talking about music. And we would recommend the first 8 or 9 episodes, we'd recommend records to each other. And that was sort of the concept of the show. And then one of those guys went on tour and we decided, I guess we need to fill the void and bring on a third person every episode. And it just so happened that all of our friends are local musicians. So it sort of very easily morphed from, wait a minute, we have this person here. I don't want to hear what records they're listening to. I want to talk to them about their own music. And that's sort of what the show eventually morphed into. So it started off by asking friends to be on the show. And once sort of I figured out the format, and then it would be asking people whose music I was interested in. And then I got to the point where you are, where people reached out to me. And I have, mm-hmm. I have too many people. I need to find a better way of juggling requests to be on the show, because I always want to listen first. I want to make sure it's something that, it doesn't have to be a style of music I like. I think to have someone on the show, it has to be something that A, I like and I'm interested in, but B, it can also be something that has some kind of element about it that I want to hear more about. So even if it's mm-hmm. a type of music that I can't, it doesn't do anything for me. There might be something about maybe the lyrics or what subject matter or the person who's making the music. Maybe there's something about them that I want to hear more about. And that makes me interested, and that makes it more worthwhile to have them on the show. Because I think I've heard a lot of podcasts where people will just sort of accept anybody to be a guest, and you can tell when the host isn't interested. And mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the host doesn't have to love that person's work, but they have to have some kind of be inquisitive about something about that person, about what they do. And so that's sort of the criteria. But right now I get requests all the time. They show up in all my various social media inboxes. When I remember to reply back, I do. But I need to find a better system, because I do get a lot of them. And it's not for any reason other than my show has been around for so long, right? People know it. People know that this is an opportunity that they can take advantage of to get their music out to more people. So I think it's really just name recognition at this point. And so I need to find a better way to going forward for the next 1,000 episodes, if I get there, to sort of filter it better.
I mean, you're a great host, though, at the same time. And I mean, like, there's so much I've heard of, hey, you know, a lot of bands I've talked to, and it's a lot of off-air stuff and just maybe even just on the scene stuff, and they'll bring up your name and, hey, talk to this person. I know Ronnie watching right now.
Yeah.
Ronnie absolutely adores this show that you're doing, and he has nothing but great things to say about it. So, of course, you're going to have tons of people reaching out to you, you know? I mean, I wanted to talk to you so bad.
Well, I'm glad we're doing it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, right? But I guess that's kind of the cool thing about it too. And 100%, you kind of got to respect the, you got to be invested into the guests too. Right. And I guess the cool thing with people reaching out, and like you said, that's how you discover new people. Like, I have a group coming on at the end of the month and I've never heard of them, but they're 15, 16 year old.
Oh, cool.
Group. And, it was crazy. I'm like, okay, this is cool. This is cool. Didn't know what to expect. I look on streaming services and bam, there it is, a full album. It's like, oh my God, it's like Silverchair or what, you know, like some young people putting out an album. So I'm looking forward to this. I really don't know much about them. And then you get to research. And I will tell you today, I fell down the biggest rabbit hole of the year for me, and I don't want to say the person's name because I'm going to do something with this person, but I fell down this rabbit hole of just seeing a name, and this person had reached out to me, and I thought, okay, let's look a little into this, and then send me some cool stuff on her, and then boom, listen to it, and then boom, again,
yeah.
And then there was a cover song. I'm like, oh my God, this is one of my favorite bands you just covered. And then I had this big plan, and then it turns out this person doesn't do, God, I hope she's not watching. She doesn't do live shows. And I'm like, this is the answer. This is why anyone I've talked to does not know of you right now. But I fell down this rabbit hole, and like, this is my, and no offense to any band out there or anyone I've had on here, this is one of my biggest shocking moments that I've had in the last year of discovering a band, of how talented this person is.
Yeah.
But never heard of them before. But it's because all of us going to these live shows and going out have never seen her, because she doesn't do live shows for certain reasons. And my God, I can't wait to like find out more about it. But that's exactly it though, right? It just takes someone to reach out, and then you open this whole new world of music. And maybe Maybe it's not the type of music I'm into, but when you discover someone new, you can fall right into that trap, right?
Totally.
Of, oh my God, I just discovered this band, not really my style of music, but wow,
But there's something
I
about it,
love
right?
this band.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting you mentioned, the teenagers and stuff, because like I've been doing this show for 13 years now, and I mean I'm 43 this year. So I mean, a lot of the people I'm interviewing are quite a bit younger than me. I mean, some of them are older, some of them are people who I grew up going to see play live, which is awesome. But a lot of the time it'll be, a 22-year-old or something who's got some new band, and we have definitely things in common as far as music, but their frames of reference for the local music scene and mine are completely different. And I feel like if I wasn't doing this show, I wouldn't necessarily be introduced to some of these bands just because there is such a big age gap. I'm not really in the demographic for their shows, and I'm, my friend group isn't necessarily going to cross over with theirs. So I've for sure, I'm sure this has happened to you or will start happening to you as well, where you're just, getting introduced to stuff that is just totally out of your wheelhouse. And it's really awesome for that to happen, because you realize, wait a minute, nothing has changed. The people making music at 20 are the same people who were making music when I was 20. It's just the styles have changed, the venues have changed, the instrumentations maybe changed, but it's the same thing. They're still as hungry, they're still as passionate about doing something creative. And so even if I don't get it, even if I feel like I'm too old to understand what the hell is going on with some style of music, there's still something about it, right? There's something that I can kind of clue into that will make me interested. So, and I'm sure that's, if it hasn't happened to you, it will start happening the longer you do the show.
Have you ever had a guest that that has come on and maybe I don't want to say schooled you, but have you ever had a guest come on that you think you know a lot about something, and then they come on and you're like, oh my God,
Oh,
like you have a journalistic background, right?
yes.
Which is awesome, which puts you in another category on this, right? Like you have that background. I just go into this thing blind as a bat, right? Like I have no clue. I'm just going to talk to the bands, but like a good example, like John Enerson, I'm a big 1960s California music
Right,
fan,
and
right?
that guy loves that
And
shit. Yeah.
I get a guy who lived it, right? So everything I knew was peanuts to what he knew.
Well,
So
I think though it's kind of that's one of the good things about having conversations like this, right? Is where you can have someone who's from a totally different age bracket or background or different part of the city, or they come from another part of the world and move to Winnipeg, and their perspective on the local music scene is just necessarily going to be so different from yours. I mean, someone like John Irons, I don't know him, but I'm aware of his books and everything, and he's been doing this for a long time, and he's very, very knowledgeable about that one specific time and place in Winnipeg that he probably knows more about than anyone else. And I mean, that's not necessarily my style, all of those bands. Some of them I think are great, but it's not really my scene. But it's cool that there was someone who documented all of that. And that's, I think, what I'm trying to do, what you're trying to do as well, to a certain extent, is just making sure that the stuff that's happening now, while we're actively, talking to people and listening to music and recording podcasts, is making sure it remains available. That's kind of, that's always been sort of my underlying goal of doing this, is because when I started playing in bands and going to shows, I was a teenager, it was in the 90s. The internet was not what it is now. People didn't have cell phones. There was so much stuff that happened that didn't get documented, just because no one would have thought to haul out a big ass video camera and film a show. But now you can film everything. Now you can record everything. Now you can release a demo you recorded 5 minutes ago. You can put it online on Bandcamp or whatever. And I think that there's not everyone is doing that, right? You can do it, but people aren't taking advantage of it. And there's so many bands that I wish video existed of now, a CD was available that I have on tape somewhere in a box that hasn't existed in 30 years, and there's like three copies still alive because the rest have been thrown out or sold at yard sales or whatever. I wish that existed online, and now everyone can do that. So I think it's kind of imperative for people who remember the old days when that stuff wasn't available to sort of encourage everyone, like, look, you have the technology in your pocket. Please record this. Please post this. Even if it's not the greatest thing you've ever made, like, keep it for posterity, because there'll be someone who could benefit. Because, I mean, when I was starting to listen to local music, I could read about bands from the 80s and 70s and earlier, but I couldn't necessarily get access to their records unless I found one at a used record store or something, right? It wasn't so as easy as just going on Bandcamp or if you use Spotify, that kind of thing or whatever. But now you can. So now I think we should be encouraging everyone to do stuff like this, where whether it's an interview, whether it's making a music video, whether it's recording a live show, I think it should all be thrown up there. And not to derail your conversation here, but I did have some things I wanted to ask you as well, and this kind of ties into it. One of my sort of reflections, I guess, on doing this for as long as I've done it, when I realized the 1,000th episode was coming up, was that things have completely changed as far as what a podcast is, even in the short time between when I started and when we're doing this now. And one of those things is that video and live streaming, and like what you do on your show, that was not really a thing in 2012, 2013, 2014. I mean, I barely knew what a podcast was when I started, and now podcasts are not necessarily just audio. I mean, I still thinking of them as just an audio medium, but obviously video is a big part of it. Live streaming is a big part of it. There's all these other elements to it. And so I kind of feel like things have even shifted in that short amount of time. So what's like, you know, what's next 10 years from now?
Yeah.
As far as how this goes. So, I mean, I don't know if it's a question, but I think that you are in a good situation starting when you started, because this whole ecosystem was here where the idea of recording live video interviews and streaming them as they happen, I mean, it's normal. Like, but when you started this, that was the thing that people did, right? And I mean, yeah. So you had sort of access to this whole technology and everything that you could do this. So it's great. So I mean, like when you started this show, was this always the idea for you to do the video element of it, or had you ever thought about just doing an audio podcast? Or was that, because podcast is such a nebulous word now, it doesn't even mean what it used to mean anymore.
Like, I don't even know what this is.
I mean, I would call this like a YouTube show, but it's not really. We were on Facebook, right?
Is
like
it a webcast? Is it a podcast?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is it?
Yeah.
Right? So it does go live to YouTube as well. So sorry, cool. I don't know if I mentioned that. So I don't know if you know, if you've heard the background, why this is happening. Like, why am I here? There's a group called The Boneyard. They were out of Ontario. And the guy, and I can't remember his name right now, but his friend Hollywood, they posted one day, hey, he's on the road a lot doing things. We need someone to take over some of the bands. We don't want to lose focus on the band thing. So I jumped on it.
Okay.
Right? And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I've watched some episodes. I'll do it. And then I had Trevor from Omens was my first guest. And of course, the email goes to him and it's from the Eastern time zone. And the times were messed up, and I was eating dinner, and he sends me messages and said, hey, are we not live right now? I'm like, oh, I thought it was in an hour, and then dropped dinner. When did it, right? So that was kind of my experience. And of course, a person that I grew up listening to with Jet Set Satellite, right? And
yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I fumbled the first one. But ended up doing that with them, and then I kept grabbing Winnipeg bands, and then they threw me a Florida band. And I'm like, oh no, I don't know anything about this Florida band. And then it turns out they had like 10,000 views on this thing before the show even ended or something. I'm like, okay, it turns out they've opened for some mega bands. And so that's kind of where it started with that. And then I just kept grabbing the Winnipeg bands. And I think by the end of it, I was kind of like, you know what? I think I need to just do this on my own. And no disrespect to the Boneyard.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of a guy, I guess with my job, right? I'm a manager at a car dealership, so I have control of my department.
Okay.
And I feel I needed to control it more, right? So I grab control of it. I book the people. I send the link. I do it all. But I guess to answer your question in the short version, I never envisioned just an audio one because I didn't even know what I was doing. I just jumped on to talk to some bands, right? So I was bred into the live thing.
Yeah.
And this is kind of where I'm at now. And I kind of just brand in that way that, hey, we're live. Anything goes. Nothing ever bad is that. Well, one comment would happen one time and it kind of ruffled some feathers. But I mean, it's live, but everyone's respectful.
Yeah.
So I mean, if it was getting out of hand, people were saying things about people, then I got to rethink the whole thing. Right. But it's been pretty good so far besides the one comment. Yeah, I think just the long short answer is I never tried with just audio, so
yeah.
This is where I am.
Fair enough. Yeah. And to go back to what you're asking me too about, you know, how do I find the guests? Obviously, you sort of answered a bit of that about your own show as well. But I feel like, I mean, just because you're not new, you've been doing this for a year now, but you know, you're relatively new. Are most of the artists that you're looking for? It seems like you have an interest in sort of the hard rock stuff, right? I mean, it seems like that's more sort of your wheelhouse based on the guests you have. Is that accurate? I mean, is that the kind of stuff you came up, you mentioned Jet Set Satellite a minute ago as something you sort of came up listening to?
Yeah.
Is that was that your scene, like when you first started getting into local
music?
I was
more into that, right? And then honestly, when I had the Boneyard thing, the Loud Awards was coming up,
right?
Which you're once again nominated for.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
but that was coming up, so I really brought in a bunch of hard rock bands. But you know what? I've become just such a fan of local bands. And if you look at my, if you want to really take just a quick dive into what I like about local music, you look at my Summerfest lineup.
Yeah.
You just pull that lineup. Those were like, I've told people this, I had 37 bands rejected for Summerfest, and I didn't reject them on purpose. I already had my 9 bands.
You had a big list. I saw that. I didn't go to the show, but I saw the poster. It was a lot of bands on there.
I already had the 9 bands, and like anyone watched, stay tuned because you're going to hear about the next one.
Yeah.
And the list is bigger. But I already had the 9 bands, but those were my favorite bands.
Okay.
I've told the story countless times about the Northern Rails. Like, I've known those guys since they were autopilots.
Yeah.
They played an event for me, which people who know me, especially my wife, will know what kind of event that was that they played way back when. They played an event for me. I saw them at Finn's at the Forks.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I've known those guys and Kendra, since they were in the autopilot band. Right. And now they're Northern Royals. So I really wanted them to be part of it. And just everyone else, Pure Entry was one of my first bands that I really got into here. And developed a pretty cool friendship with a couple of them. There's Evan right there, buddy.
You know what's cool, actually, is that, like, that lineup you had for your show, and this is no offense to any of the bands on there, because I've had some of them. Northern Rail is a great example. They've been on my show multiple times. Great people. But I think that if I was putting on a show, I wouldn't have picked any of those bands. And that's, again, not an insult to those bands. It's just sort of a testament to how wide the music scene is, that you could have a list that long of bands and there wouldn't be repetition. And I think that's why there's room for more people to be doing things like this, because there's so much stuff out there and there's not necessarily going to be any crossover, maybe. I mean, a lot of those bands I've interviewed in the past, but you know, if I was picking a show and you're picking a show, there's going to be diverse stuff on each lineup, and it's going to be, they could coexist beside each other. And so could a third show or a fourth show, or someone doing a CKUW MFM show, or doing writing about bands or whatever. There's so many opportunities because the scene is so huge that you can do this without stepping on each other's toes. Like, I'm not worried when I see you have an episode with someone I've interviewed. I think that's awesome. It's not like, oh shit, you know, this is I already did this. What are you doing? Like, I don't care. You know, it's the more the merrier, right? So that's kind of, yeah.
You know, with you saying that, it's the cool thing about it is, and this goes with the festivals too, and I'm going to specifically call out a certain festival right now, Cosmic Cat. I had the greatest time at Cosmic Cat. Evan, you were there. You had a great time. I know you. But Cosmic Cat was so fun. But, you know, I talked to the organizers about it, and we really didn't cross any bands.
Yeah.
I mean, Northern Royals played, and I think that's the only band that really that crossed over, I believe. But the good thing about it is, and we are in agreement, that Cosmic Cat and Peg City Sound Off, like Summerfest, we're not in competition with each other. We are pushing local bands right now.
That's the point.
We are pushing to do the scene. But as for you and me as well, I saw you had ticked off on. I'm like, oh, that's super cool. I freaking love that band. And, like, obviously, you know, I see the list of your bands. Like, oh, yeah, had him, had her, had that band. It's not a competition with us.
No, not at all.
It's not at all like, oh, how dare he ask them that question. I just asked them that question. It, you know, there's no competition with it. I just encourage so many people that if you can get going with something like this and just get bands going and...
Yep.
I love hearing about all these cool things. Like, every band at Summerfest, I can tell you probably my first experience with that band and something that just made me love them. And just to go back to that for a second, but that list of 9 bands, those were my favorite bands of the last year. And once again, no offense to anyone, there was a lot of bands that got left off. But they were the ones that really captivated me. And I put this list together, and the whole thing started at the Tap House. There were so many people. One night we were kind of in a circle on the floor, and this is one of my favorite stories ever. We were on this kind of in a circle, and I had already talked about doing a festival, and I looked around and I was like, oh my God, like, everyone here right now is is who I want to be at the Tap House for this festival. And then we made it work, and the bands were so good. They cooperated so good with everything. And that's where it led to. And I mean, year two, it's happening again. It's no secret because I did the Battle of the Bands. Nagy won it. Nagy's coming in. But it's just such a cool thing. And I just want people to know that there's no competition between podcasts, between festivals. I mean, let's just push and push it all we can.
That's the point.
We all love the same music, right?
That's the point. Yeah, it doesn't matter what bands it is. It's local bands. You get one local band more attention, it's going to put more attention on all the local bands. And I think that one of the things that about that is, like, it's not just festivals and things like that either. It's just any way to sort of promote the local scene is what's important. And that people do that in social media. They do it by word of mouth. They do it by, you know, selling tapes at shows, whatever it is. Like it's all super positive. And I think that, that goes beyond the local music scene too. Just any kind of local arts community. I don't know how many people are aware of the podcasting community we have, but there's a lot of people who have been making shows not as long as I have, but not too far off, and on different topics. I mean, we have people doing shows on pretty much everything you can think of in Winnipeg who have been doing it and, you know, working really hard at it, very DIY for years and years, and doing really interesting content. And I think that the more attention that comes onto my podcast or your podcast or someone else's show, that elevates everyone as well. And that's kind of the whole point of it. I mean, I don't think any of us are doing this to get rich or famous, because it's not going to happen. If you think it's going to happen, it's not. But the other thing about that too is, I think that, you know, like I mentioned earlier, you have the benefit of starting this in a world where this is normal, where podcasts are a known thing that everyone sort of knows about.
Yeah.
And you also have sort of an advantage where, you know, when I started this out, all I know how to do is interview people. I can sit there and interview people all day. I have a basic technical knowledge on how to do editing, and I can post some stuff on social media, and that's about it. But you know, you're getting sponsors, you're putting on festivals in your first year, you're doing a lot of stuff, and I think that things have sort of opened up where that's more. You obviously have to have talent at it and to know what you're doing and know who to talk to and all those things. That's for sure. I'm not trying to diminish your accomplishments of that festival, but I think it's in 2025, the ability to do that has just been democratized so much more that when I started my show, that wasn't even a thought that something like that could happen. And I mean, here you are doing it in your first year. So I think that it is getting easier. I mean, I don't want to say the bar has been lowered, because that makes it sound like, you know, bad things are coming through. But I mean, it just you can be DIY and you can do stuff like this. And it's so much more people. It's more accepted now. And there's not as much of a, there's still a hustle for sure, but it's not the same as it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, where the idea of putting something on completely independently like this maybe wouldn't have been an option, or people wouldn't have known where to go or to talk to. And now it's just sort of a couple emails or messages on social media and to get a ball early.
Yeah, no, you know what? As much as like Summerfest was, it was a little stressful. There were some stressful things.
I'm sure.
But at the same time, it was super easy. It's not hard. And I know, and I haven't been in this, like, this local scene. I haven't been involved very long with it. Like, what you're seeing is what you're seeing, like, in the last year, right? But I have talked to people who are like, oh, it used to be so hard to get, you know, gigs and this and this and this, and it's so hard to do this, so hard to do that. And yeah, I believe it 100%. But everything is so accessible now. And
yeah.
I mean, especially when dealing with the Tap House, I mean, I got nothing but love for that place. They've done so much for me, and I hope I've done enough for them. But I mean, it's an easy contact to reach out to Riley and just get a show booked, right? Like Summerfest 2 is booked.
Cool.
And the dates are locked in, and it's just amazing. And it's like, wow, like, that's it. It's locked in. I just got to get the bands. And then similar to last year, a couple changes in how it's going to be done, but things are a bit easier. And I know, like, I say that right now, and if anyone in other festivals are listening, they're probably like, this guy's crazy. It's not easy. It was easy for me because I had the venue. I had some sponsors that helped out in some areas, but it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like pulling tooth and nail trying to get a venue. Like, the venue just, like, boom, it was like that. Riley had it lined up for me immediately. The next one's lined up already. Like, I mean, it's, what is it, August 14th, and it's already lined up. And but yeah, things have been easier. But even doing this, like you said, everything is just kind of set up for me. Like I just got on a streaming account, and
yeah,
and pay my $30 a month, which is what the sponsors pay me. And it basically just pays for me to do this, so I'm not like out of pocket all the time, right? There's still stuff's out of pocket. Like you said, no one's getting rich off this thing. If
No.
anything, this is going to cost us in the end.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And I think one of the interesting, and I know what you're doing, I mean, is technically classified as a podcast, but it's definitely different format wise and everything than what I do, but there's similarities for sure. But I think that there's, I wish I could remember the number, but there's a sort of like an unwritten rule about podcasting that once you get past a certain number of episodes, you're good. You're going to keep doing it. But so many shows bail. And I think it's something really small, like 8 episodes or something. Tons of people will start and have this great idea. They'll start it up and then they'll realize how much work is involved. They'll realize that maybe, you know, they're not getting the listenership they expected, which they shouldn't expect any because you're starting out. You should, you know, you're not going to get a lot of people paying attention.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't realize that what sort of goes into this. And they all think they see a celebrity doing a podcast and think, oh, wow, this person has 1 million viewers every week. I can do that. But you can't. I mean, you know, you can do it on a smaller scale, but you don't have that built-in audience. And I think a lot of people expect that they're going to be use this as a ticket to something else rather than this is the point of it in the first place. Like just, you know, what you're doing here, this is the show. This is why you're doing it. Not, I mean, you know, if you become a springboard to something bigger, that's awesome, right? But I think that people need to be happy sort of with where they are and delivering the message and the subject matter and the content that they're delivering and focus on making that really good, rather than focusing on sort of trying to become the celebrity podcaster. And I think a lot of people have kind of gone wrong there where they've tried to do that. And I'm sure on video streams too. I mean, now that that's been so much easier for people to access, I think a lot of people start that out and then, you know, boom, they give up after a few episodes because it's not what they thought.
Yeah. I mean, November last year. So it's September, October, November. I don't think anyone knows. I don't even think my wife knows this. I was like that close. I was just like, I'm just done. I'm just
I've been there.
It.
I've been there. I'm there every year at least once. Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to kill it. And then I was like, you know what? Then I just kind of got roped in. And I'll be honest with you, and I don't want this to sound bad to, I'm sure there's a couple of band people watching. I don't want it to sound like I use this to springboard my band. I'm going to get to this question from Evan right away, but I don't want anyone to think this springboarded my band or anything, but it didn't hurt us getting some shows.
Sure.
Because there's a bit of backing, and we're not saying I'm like some local celebrity or something, but I mean, coming on here, have managed to line up a show with my band, with some of the guests that have been on, and
nice.
It has helped us get some stuff and ultimately helped us to, you know, make some money out of these shows and record our first EP just to get some music out. And, you know, it didn't hurt me in that way, but there was, I think it was November. I was like, you know what? I just don't know if I want to bother. But then I just met some more people and I swear every time I walk out the door and go to a show, I meet someone else who's so interesting. And I mean, that's kind of a cool thing. I want to get to Evan. Evan, he's still in here. This goes back a bit when you said that none of the bands or the bands on Summerfest you probably wouldn't have had. What's your list if you had a show tomorrow, Sam? First five bands come to mind.
I've seen
That's
that
crazy.
I've seen that question at the bottom of the screen for the past like 10 minutes, and I honestly don't know how to answer it. I think that what I would try to do if I was doing a show, honestly though, would be to make it as diverse musically as possible. And I think that, you know, over the obviously I have my preferences. I mean, when it comes to music, I listen to local, otherwise I listen to massive amounts of reggae, I listen to hardcore, I listen to jazz, I listen to a few other genres. But I mean, like, I have my own interests for sure, but I think that I would want to make it as diverse as possible. I'd want to have a hip-hop artist, I'd want to have a jazz group or player or whatever, I'd want to have a punk band, I'd want to have, you know, maybe a metal band, maybe a folk singer. I think that those were always the most fun shows when I was younger in bands. When I was a teenager, I was in a ska band in the 90s when the third wave of ska was a big thing. And we played shows with, you know, hardcore bands, metal bands. There'd be a folk singer opening up. It would be just incredibly diverse bills with like 10, 11, 12 bands on the bill. And for $5, right? And those were always the best shows. I mean, I feel like it's very easy to do a show where it's all the same genre kind of mashed together. I mean, you can find 10 punk bands, no problem, because they all know each other. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I'd love to see a show with 10 punk bands for sure. But I'd rather see a punk band with a rapper, with a funk artist, with like a, you know, a soul singer, with a blues player, with a classical musician, like whatever. I think the more crazy you mash everything up, the better it is. And so I don't have a 5-band list that I can think of off the top of my head, but I would definitely be trying to choose each of those 5 from very different styles of music, I think. I mean, I'm sure if I sat here long enough, I could think of ones that would fit well together, because that's part of it too, right? It's not just, I like this band, I like this band, I like this band. You want to make it an experience that the audience will actually be able to sort of handle the transition from one to the next, right?
Yeah, exactly, right? And, you know, that's super cool. It's a great answer. We didn't get the bands, but it's a great answer, though. Diversity is key, I do believe. Mixing genres for shows, I think, is a thing that we got to start looking into a little bit.
Yeah, I think it needs to happen more often. And I think maybe the real answer to that question is, you know, again, not listing five bands, but I'd want to have people doing something that maybe kind of pushes boundaries a little bit. I mean, you know, if I'm getting a punk band, I'd want to get a punk band that's doing something very different with their sound, or have someone who's playing, you know, not just a jazz group, but someone who's playing something really out there and avant-garde and weird. And, you know, maybe like, I think the stranger you get stuff, because there's a lot of people who still only listen to certain kinds of music, right?
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, you get a bunch of rock bands and have one rap artist on there. Maybe some of the rock fans are not willing to give that a chance. But if you get something that's very different and very unique and weird, it's going to resonate with them maybe in a different way than, you know, than I, yeah. I'm reading Ronnie's commentary. Yeah, that Robin's Donuts is long gone. And actually, our podcast community, we do monthly meetups. And we meet at Robin's Donuts downtown. We've been doing that for years now. All the podcasters come together and hang out and have coffee and donuts. But yeah, I definitely, there's been at least two Robin's Donuts I went to for interviews regularly that are no longer in existence. So that was one of them for sure.
Is that the one that's like right by like Thompson Drive?
No, it's the Moray one, the one right by
Moray.
Okay. The big one is, it's been gone for a few years now, but yeah, that was where I first met Ronnie for sure. Yeah,
yeah, I gotta actually make it out to one of those podcast meetups. I know I've talked about getting out there.
You should, yeah, like that's the whole DIY thing where everyone just sort of supports each other. And I mean,
yeah,
there are people who do shows there that are, you know, different age demographic than me, very different subject matter in their show, very different interests. And I mean, I would never have met these people in regular life probably just because our paths wouldn't have crossed. But some of them are like my favorite people ever. You know, like we really have a tight community. We have new people who come in and out every month, which is great too. But there's sort of a core of us who have been doing this for years now. And yeah, they're probably people I wouldn't have met otherwise, but I really appreciate their friendship and their, you know, advice and things about podcasting, because we're all making this up as we go along, right? So
super cool. I'm looking at a comment here, and Evan, you've been awesome on here with some conversation pieces here. So, and this is where I'm really going to give you credit, because this is going to go back to something we've been talking about a lot. Sam coming to the band house with a tape recorder is still the coolest podcast experience for us. Bring it back. So this also goes back to how me coming into it with the video thing, just boom, boom, boom. Like, I did a live on location at the Tap House with Pure Entry.
Yeah.
I set up two cameras. I brought my, like, my Mac M4 here, which is just a little tiny box, a screen, and my interface. I mean, it's a small setup, right? But I set that up, and boom, just like that, I can do something live on location. So you go to the band house. Super cool tape recorder.
Well, it wasn't literally a tape recorder. I mean, it was a Zoom H1. I don't know if you know portable recorder. It's about this big. I just sort of set it up in the middle of the room, and everyone sits equidistant around it. We would just talk. And that, for the first few years of the podcast, that was how I did the podcast. I didn't have separate mics. I didn't have mics at all. I had this one little recorder in the middle of the room, and it wasn't always great for audio quality. Sometimes it would be great. Sometimes it would be horrible. But I mean, that was sort of the format. I didn't know that I could do something like this. This wasn't an option, right? Like, pre-pandemic, the idea of recording a Zoom call was not even in anyone's mind. And,
exactly, right?
And so that was how I upgraded my recorder a few years down the road, but it was still the same thing. It was still a portable recorder going to someone, interviewing them on their own turf. But yeah, it was an interesting experience for sure. Doing hundreds of those over the years was a lot
exactly
of fun,
right.
I wish it was. So, I wish it was a tape recorder. I mean, I definitely have a lot of tapes, but yeah.
So in a couple of weeks, this one I'm pretty sure it's on my page. I'm doing a live on location with Ledwin.
Okay.
From their jam space, and they have the technology. Then I have the technology that work together.
Yeah.
And we're going to do a live band recording. Like, they're going to do a full performance that's going to be broadcast on here. And that's just kind of how technology and how things have moved along, that it's just like, you know, Eric from Ledwin's like, yeah, I got this thing. It all we do is plug it into yours and we're good. Like
Yeah.
that's just how simple things have gotten now, right? As I'm sure we're gonna run into hiccups and there's gonna be some delay or something, but we're gonna make it work. But just back to that you laid some groundwork obviously years back, 2012. I mean you've come this far, and people like me, I don't wanna I mean like kind of just continuing it. And now we're doing live videos. Now we're going to do a live shoot of this band. I
Yeah.
mean, Red Tie did it. I'm not too familiar with them, but I know enough about how things were, right?
They did, and the
But
Village Idiots did it before them. And
yeah,
there's always been
exactly,
people
right?
trying to do these things. I used to
There's
do stuff like
always.
that too. It wasn't video, but I would often record live songs. If I was in a band's jam space, I'd set up that little recorder and record them playing live in the middle of the room. That was sort of the
Yeah, like it's just super cool, and that's just technology just advancing, and how we're able to do some things, right?
It's great. It's great. I mean, I'm not bitter about it or anything because I'm glad that this exists now. I mean, I still have my own little kind of a very, very basic audio setup, but I'm glad that there are people like you with this kind of equipment who can do this because I want to watch that. I would like to tune into a live performance by a local band online. I mean, I started watching those all the time during COVID, and they were great. It was awesome that you could just sort of tune into Facebook or whatever and see that. So it's great that that's an option.
It's just kind of just going back to what we were talking about there, how things have just evolved, and I came straight into live video, and this is kind of just where I'm at, and it's one of those things that what's next, right? Like I'm always trying to think of ways to reinvent it so I can just keep going, and I mean you're closing in on 1,000 episodes. It's just that whole stat is just wild to me.
It's
Like
ridiculous. It definitely is ridiculous.
oh my God, it's just crazy. Sam, has there ever been an artist you interviewed at a smaller point in their career that went on to really blow up?
I'm sure there has been. I saw
Ronnie
that. Yeah, I see that question there too, and
Latimer.
I'm not sure. I guess like I'm sure there's better examples that I can think of, but the one that comes to mind most is Jay Wood, who started off as a local artist who's now he's in Montreal now. He's been signed and everything. He's putting out records on like a fairly large indie label, and he's getting a lot of attention online and things like that. And I mean, I still remember the first time I met him was outside the Park Theater at a show, Witch Police show, that was how live show we were doing. And he knew some of the people who were on the show, some of the people I was interviewing and stuff. And he started talking to me about this project he had. And I remember saying, "Oh yeah, one day we should get you on the podcast once you have that sort of started." And he's been on 4 or 5 times over the years, and sort of every time I have him on the show, he's doing something more exciting and more successful. And I think there's a lot of bands like that who have sort of the ones who have stuck around are usually kind of they're succeeding, right? Like they're doing better and better. And it's cool to see. That's why I like having return guests on, even if it's every couple of years have the same person on again, is you can kind of see how their career has. And it's continued to progress, and some people haven't. Some people are happy where they are. Some people are happy being the local band that plays once, twice a year, and recording music on their own time. And those people are interesting to talk to as well. But sometimes they're more interesting. Actually, the people have asked me this before too, about sort of who is the best interview I've ever had on my show, and I don't have an answer for that. But the answer that I like to give is that it's often not who you expect it'll be. It's often not someone who is extremely famous and successful. It's not someone who's winning awards. It's someone who's played like 2 shows and they're super pumped that someone wants to hear about their music. And those are the ones who are going to share the episode and get it more listens. And those are the ones who are going to be like really, really passionate about talking about what they're into. Whereas someone who's doing their 5th interview of the day, and that's not any fault of theirs, but I mean, they do this every day promoting, it's a record cycle. They're used to the press whole setup and everything like that. They've answered these questions before, but some new band that just started, that just has an EP out and they want to share it with everyone, they're going to be super, super pumped and super passionate. And I often enjoy those episodes better because, I mean, I've had people on, and he's a great interview, but I've had Fred Penner on twice. And I mean, Fred Penner is awesome. I grew up listening to his music. I still love his music. Like, he's a local icon and it's great talking to him. But going into that interview, he's done thousands of interviews that year alone, right? So I mean, what he's going to say is definitely something he's probably said, no matter what questions I ask, most of them have been asked before. And that's not any fault of his or any fault of mine, but it's not going to be as. He's not going to be as excited to be talking about the same stuff that he's talked to 7 other journalists about, within the past week. Whereas this band that I'm the first time they've ever been interviewed by anyone, they're super, super pumped. And I'm sure you've had that too, where people who are
Oh
sort
yeah.
of new to it, they're really, really excited that someone cares enough to ask them about what they're doing. And I think that those are often the best interviews, because those people, like they're just really excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. I think I go into some of them and I'm like, okay, these usually run half an hour, but when I get going with someone, as I have with you right now, we're at 50 minutes. That's great. That's fine. I've had them over an hour. I had one at almost an hour and a half. I was on with Jeff Descender from Frozen Fire, who did our EP, buddy of ours. I went on his, and I think we ran it to almost 2 hours.
Wow.
Like we went and went. And I think once you get the conversation going, it's great, right? But I've had some on that I'm like, hey, this will be like a 20 minutes because I really don't know a lot about them. They don't really have much out there. They're not really playing live much. And then boom, it goes 45 minutes because you just get going on things. And then it's like, oh, well, I got into music because of this person. And it's like, oh, cool. Like they've been on the show before. Oh, yeah. No, I watched your show. You've watched this already? You know, like you get going and you're right. Sometimes those are the best ones is when you don't expect it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you don't have a frame of reference other than you've heard their music because they sent you a link or whatever. You've checked it out. You have an idea of what you want to ask them about, but you don't really know sort of who they are, where they're coming from. And I think that, yeah, those can be better. Not that, I mean, very successful artists can be great interviews too, for sure. And I mean, like, to use Fred Penner's example, just because he's very famous, especially here. I mean, both times I talked to him, he was fantastic and it was a really great conversation. But yeah, I mean, someone of that stature compared to a band that played their first show 5 months ago, I mean, it's a different level of energy, I guess, in terms of excitement about being interviewed.
Mm, exactly. Right. And, you know, if answer that with my side, someone who's made big, but I haven't really talked to, I haven't been around long enough to talk to someone and then made a big, but you know, talking with Ariel Posen was super cool because being a guy to switch the music side about it, the musician side about it, I was always a Gibson guy, and then now I play Fenders, right?
Right.
Fender guy, and then he gets his signature guitar. So I'm like, oh my God, reach out, gotta talk to this guy about this. And sure enough, everything, all the stars aligned, it was great. Talked to him. So it was super cool to talk to him. And then Thomas Henry, who's been doing some of these for me, who's part of my team here, he interviewed Larry Gillstrom from Kick-Ax, who's passed away.
Right, that's
right. And it's just a crazy thing. Like, he's just a legit fan. Like, this wasn't Thomas just talking to someone. Like, Thomas is a legit fan of them. Like just a fan, right? And it was so cool. He came to my house to do it because I guess he wanted more of the quality of the, you know, the computer and everything, right?
Yeah, the studio vibe.
And I stood behind this green screen for a bit and just listened to him talk, and it just sounded so genuine to be talking to someone. And they talked before they went live, they talked after they were live, and you know, it's cool to see that. And so I guess where I'm going with it is, you just mentioned Fred Penner, you know, you're a fan of Fred Penner. It's really cool to just be talking to people that you're a fan of as well. You know, as well as bands that are just starting out that you really don't know much about besides a couple songs that might be out. And, you know, we play two shows, but I find it's just as fun to talk to them and get the long interview out of them and learn so much. And it's just as cool to, you know, talk to someone who's done it all and you've listened to for years. And
for sure.
And, you know, you might get a 20 minute conversation out of them, but it's just super cool. And I absolutely love doing this. And like I say, I was ready to hang it up in November. And then I brought Thomas on a couple of months ago. I had to bring Thomas in. I had some worries of myself and I had to bring someone in because I wanted to make sure someone was taken over. And I didn't want to fade away. You know, I didn't want to, if I was going to take a bit of time off, I didn't want to fade away and then come back in 3 months and people are like, oh, I don't even care anymore. You haven't been around for 3 months and, you know, whatever.
But that is the thing though, right? Is the idea that, like, you know, you've been putting out content for as long as you have. What happens if you stop? How do you take a break without sort of losing the momentum? And that was something that I struggled with. I was doing for a long time, 2 episodes a week. And I've cut it down this year to 1 a week just because it was getting too much. I mean, there are absolutely enough artists that I could talk to make that happen, but just, you know, it's a one person show, doing all the other stuff was killing me. So in order to keep wanting to do the show, I cut it down to 1 a week, and that's so much more manageable. And but I think that, like, you know, I was even worried about that. I remember thinking, wait, what are people gonna even want to continue, like they're expecting 2 a week because I've been done at 2 a week for 8 years or whatever to have been at that point. Like, you know, what happens when I slow this down? And what one person who is a listener and a past guest on the show told me was that because I put so much stuff out there just on social media and everything, it didn't seem like I was slowing down. It still seemed like there was a lot of content being churned out because I always post, you know, on this day in whatever year I interviewed this person and repost those episodes to get them back out there and stuff. So I think that it's really just a matter of making sure that there's something coming out so people know the show's still alive because there's so much to choose from, right? I mean, there's, you know, we're two podcasts. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of music podcasts. And I mean, if you go beyond, you know, there's a certain amount of local music podcasts, a certain amount of Canadian music podcasts. You keep going out and out and out, and there's more and more to choose from. And the idea that someone could very easily just forget what you're doing and move on to something else, right? So yeah, there's that, always that fear of like, if I stop or slow down, is it gonna be dead? Have I just killed this by switching, right? So yeah, I know the feeling for sure.
Yeah, you don't want to. I find you don't want to over post as well, right? You don't want to do it too much. But then I've had days where I didn't post anything one day. I'm like, oh my god, I forgot a day.
Yeah.
It's like you don't have to do it every day, but yeah, you also don't want to post like 7 things a day. And it was really hard around Summerfest because I was really trying to pump the tires on it, right? And I found it kind of hard around Summerfest to you know, I had my countdown going, posting stupid memes of it, but I was trying not to overdo it because you also don't want people to be like, oh my god, another post, flip, you know, like, but yeah, I guess that was my biggest fear too. And what I wanted to say about Thomas too, though, is Thomas, who has come in and talked to some bands, like he has done so good. He does his research. He loves doing it too. Like, I mean, he was hot for a bit there. He was doing a bunch of weekend. I'm like, oh my god, I'm trying to put my kid to bed, and I would have to send off the thing and hit the live thing.
Yeah.
And then I just kind of have it sitting there while he did his thing. But I mean, he's done so well with it. And I got Ruth Morris I think she's posted herself as my marketing manager. She's basically out there looking for sponsors, but we have so much going on right now too. I mean, we just started the concert series that'll start in October. It will be a concert every 4 months, 3 months,
cool,
3 or 4 months, a show that we will seek out local sponsors to cover the door fees so the bands can maximize profits. It's just super cool to be in this music scene, to be able to go around it, meet new people, hear about new things coming up. And that is a big reason why I wanted to talk to you tonight, is you have a whole other perspective that I don't right now. You have much more experience doing things. You've talked to so many more people than I have. I've looked through a list of your guests, and
this is ridiculous.
I don't know 894 of them, you know. But you have such a huge catalog of people you talk to, and you know, you've set the stage for this. I may have taken the steps and just came in live a year ago, just live, putting on shows. I'm going big as fast as I can. And as big as I can. I got radio that's going to be coming very shortly, a little delayed right now, but I am going to be doing a radio program where it'll be once a week. I'm going to have the band send me some files, play their music, we'll chat in between, we'll have guests come on and maybe talk with me, and then we'll cue to some music. It'll be a little radio show, right? But I'm doing things. I got the concert series coming out. The first one was already announced for October.
Yeah.
There's another one coming January, which you may appreciate, but I'll let you know when I make that announcement for that. But there's just, it's kind of come easy. There's easy avenues to just grab things and do things. But I mean, the scene is just so big here, and I guess doing this whole thing, just trying to find a way to be part of it, to get people to be a part of it, and just make it stronger than it has been.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's the whole point of doing this, right? If you didn't want to do that, you wouldn't be doing the show, and you wouldn't be a year into it and keep going. I wouldn't be 1,000 episodes and keep going. The idea, the whole point is to, like I was saying before, archive this stuff and make it available for posterity, but also just to let people know about the cool stuff that's happening in the city, because there's a never ending supply of it. And you know, there's, like we've been talking about, there's so much competition for people's attention right now. And so, like, you know, if you doing an interview with the band or me doing an interview with the band, if that helps sort of narrow someone's decision-making about who they're going to go see that night, that's awesome. That worked out. Yeah. I mean, so someone cool who's doing something interesting with their art has got a new fan, which is really the whole point, which is why it doesn't matter if I become famous doing this show. I'm 1,000 episodes in, I'm not famous, it's not going to happen. I don't care. I'm not the point, right? The point is to put the highlight on the artists, and that's sort of always been the goal.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. Awesome. Almost the 2 hour mark.
This is long. I think my audio version that I release in a few days will be a bit shorter. I'll have to cut it down a bit. But yeah, no, it's been good. It's like I said at the beginning, it's always nice to see other people doing something like this. I mean, our shows are similar enough, but there's so many differences, and there's so many artists, and seeing someone else doing this kind of a show is never, ever a negative, right? It's always a positive to see more people jumping on and finding their own way to promote local art, whether it's music or movies or visual art or poetry or writing or whatever. There's so many people doing creative shit in Winnipeg that, like, we should all be doing shows like this. And we'd never run out of interviewees because there's so much happening.
Exactly. Evan, yeah, sorry, yeah, for the radio, yeah. I'll let you know when that gets going, but... I mean, yeah, Sam, you're a legend.
I don't know about that.
I think I'm just stubborn.
I think is more. Yeah, man,
I can't believe you're closing in on 1,000. That's so wild.
It's ridiculous.
I counted the other day. I forget what I was at in the year. I mean, my last question for you. And this is a wild question, and this is where I started.
Okay.
I started my first episode of this first episode September 2nd was with a artist that I found opened for Social Distortion by the name of Jade Jackson. Her mother went to school with Mike Ness from Social Distortion. I had her on live from Nashville. She didn't come on the screen. She thought it was just an audio thing.
Yeah.
So it was just me and a blank screen. And I had her on there from Nashville. My question for you, because I thought I'm going to do something different. I'm going to go outside of Winnipeg. Have you ever thought of getting people on your show with no Winnipeg connection at all?
I have occasionally. If there's an opportunity, I don't seek out the opportunities, but if something comes up where I can interview someone who I'm personally a fan of and they have no connection to Winnipeg, I try to find people with a connection for sure to Manitoba. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if it's an artist from another province, if they have roots here. I mean, I had Biff Naked on a few years ago because she's obviously a Winnipegger who now lives in BC, but whatever. I mean, stuff like that makes complete sense. But
yeah,
every once in a while, if an opportunity comes up or I can interview someone whose music I'm just legitimately a fan of, I will have them on the show. But because I don't seek those out, it doesn't happen very often. Every once in a while, something like that will happen. But it's pretty rare. I would love to do a show where I did that, but it's already enough work doing this one that, like, I don't think I have so many great ideas for podcasts that are never going to happen because I'm so into this. But yeah, no, I'm not opposed to having non-Manitoban artists on the show, but because I'm not really going out of my way to find them, it's usually if someone is coming and maybe we have a mutual connection or I know someone who can hook me up with them and it can just sort of fall into place. Awesome. I'll do that. Or if I'm talking to someone online and, you know, because the way the internet has kind of democratized everything, you can kind of just reach out to your favorite artists and sometimes they get back to you depending on the context and stuff, something like that, that'll work. But it's not something I try to do.
Yeah. I did that one. And then John Anderson was September 4th. And then I was set on Winnipeg and thought this just needs to be a Manitoba thing.
Yeah.
I can't forget about the brand of people, Matt Corey, you know, guys like that. So, yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to wrap it up was, you know, I wanted to go outside Winnipeg and start doing something bigger and just get like crazy guests on. But then I also realized when I had Jade on here, no one knew who she was and people were looking up her picture. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, people had to look her up and I'm like, well, let's go back to Winnipeg.
The other part about that too, right? Is like you're as a Winnipegger, as someone who is part of the Winnipeg music scene, you're kind of the expert on the subject matter of a local artist. Whereas someone from outside, I mean, you can hear them talking about Nashville or LA or Toronto or whatever, but like,
yeah,
you don't have a frame of reference for that. I mean, I can talk to someone about the first show they went to at the Albert as a teenager, and I had that same experience. And that connection is something you're not going to get with someone from you know, New York or something, right? They might have been way more successful, but they're also being interviewed by 17,000 other people who have higher profiles as an international podcast or radio show or TV show or whatever, that it's almost like the point is to focus on the little guy who's doing it in the backyard.
Yeah, for sure. So just a huge thanks to you coming on here.
Yeah, thanks for,
huge thanks to, this is fun. One of my favorite things about this show, and we crossed the 2-hour mark. One of my favorite things about this is that chat box.
Yeah.
That thing lights up, and thank you, Ronnie. I mean, Sid, you were in there. Sorry if I didn't acknowledge you there, Sid. Evan, like...
Multiple Evans.
I mean, multiple Evans. Evan Square here, like... just so many great things, and we covered some great topics tonight. It's good to hear other people's opinion. It's like having a bunch of people on the show, but just, you know, just having them comment a little bit. But yeah, and just a huge thanks to everyone who commented tonight and everyone who watched, and just everyone who's had these two shows going. I mean, we did the cross pod here. This is super cool.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
I'm so glad we got to do this. And I know we talked a bit about doing it. So cool to have. Just a big thanks to everyone again. Just for, you know, thanks for keeping these two shows going. I mean,
yeah,
if it's not for all the bands out there and the people making things go around, we probably... You know, you probably went to got to your 1,000. That still blows my mind.
Well, and the other thing, too,
I went to got to my 30 or wherever I'm at now.
Well, you went and got to the year mark, right? And yeah, the other thing I wanted to say too about this is that, like, yes, we have these two shows that have done however many episodes, you know, respectively, but there's also like so many more people doing stuff like this in Winnipeg on different topics, and I think that like all of those people need to be highlighted. So if you find someone doing a YouTube show or a live stream or a podcast, like, please promote them. Please tell other people that they're doing it. And I mean, if you want recommendations of local podcasts, like, someone hit me up, I'll send you links to all the local people who come out to our meetups. And then, you know, maybe their subject matter is something that's more interesting to you than what I do. And I just think that, like, you know, everyone can do this. Everyone should do this. You can do it with a cell phone. You don't even need any fancy equipment. You don't need video cameras. You don't need a microphone. You don't need an external recorder. You can hit record on your cell phone and record something and try it and put it out there and see how people respond. And then if you decide to get more into it, maybe invest in some equipment or whatever. But I really think that everyone should be encouraged to do something creative like this, because there's no reason not to. Like, you can just do it with what you have in your pocket right now. So, like, please start a podcast. And like, that's why we do the monthly meetups for the podcast community, is that, like, people don't know how to get started. Like, come down to Robin's Donuts. I post the links every month on the Witch Police social media. We have a MB Podfest on various different social media platforms, because it started out as a festival a number of years ago. Like, message us. There's people doing all different kinds of shows. Each one of us uses totally different equipment, different software, different microphones. Like, none of us use the same stuff. And it's just, like, really, really good for bouncing ideas off each other and stuff. And, like, everyone is super nice and super helpful. And hopefully we'll see you out at some of these. And anyone else who, and you don't have to even have a podcast. Like, the whole point of this is just to encourage people to do stuff like this. So if someone is listening to this and maybe they've thought about, hey, I've thought about maybe doing a podcast, come down to one of our meetups and we can answer every question you have to the best of our various abilities on, like, just how to do that, you know? So yeah, like, I'm glad you're doing this. I'm glad other people are doing it. We should have more of it.
For sure.